This week on the show, we're discussing Xbox Project Helix, Xbox's next generation console, PlayStation testing some dynamic pricing, Shinji Mikami's new studio and what they might be working on, and James, we'll get to your review of Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly Remake as well. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Brody.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
This is the Pressed Up Podcast, our weekly video game discussion podcast. Let's get on with the show. Kicking things right off, let's chat about Xbox Project Helix. This is their next generation hardware operating under that code name, and they confirmed in a statement that it will be playing both Xbox and PC games, as we've kind of long speculated, I suppose. According to tech journalist Moore's Law is Dead, the upcoming hardware is likely to have a price between $1,000 and $1,200 US. A hefty total indeed. Maybe first to you on this, Brody. What, I guess, just feel free to wade into this news as much as you like, but also, what do you think Xbox need to do to make the launch of Project Helix successful?
Oh, I don't know. It is an uphill battle hardware-wise for Xbox at the moment, and I don't know that continuing down the line of very premium hardware, which I guess it's all going to be premium at this stage, with obviously the memory shortage and so forth, but I don't know if that's necessarily the way to go, like doubling down on that strategy, which has not worked this generation. That said, I don't know what they can do. Like, I genuinely think that they had conceded the console race effectively, but I guess they need to put something out. But I don't know that this is it. I think they should probably maybe focus on maybe slightly pared back skew, and I don't know, just try. It's hard. I don't even think that's the right idea. I don't know, Ewan. I don't know. Get me out of here.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like, I'm not sure if Xbox are going to be comparable to PlayStation in the way that they once were. I feel like almost PlayStation and Nintendo might be going toe-to-toe in their own race, where console exclusivity is kind of more central to the strategy. Where Xbox are kind of looking what Steam are doing, where they're kind of blurring the lines between a living room kind of entertainment unit-based console and a personal computer that we might have at our desk in our study. I think they're kind of like blurring those lines a little bit, where PlayStation and Nintendo are kind of sticking to a more walled garden approach, which we talked a little bit about last week in light of PlayStation winding back from their kind of PC release strategy as well. In regards to the price, like, it sort of feels like the days of a sub $1,000 gaming console are close to behind us. Like, it's hard to imagine that the next generation is going to be much cheaper than that. We were already kind of pushing $700-$800, right, in last generation, and everything, the price of everything has gone up in that time.
I think it's going to be interesting to see who gets their price to market first out of Steam and Xbox, and what the other does in retaliation to that, because I'm actually curious as to who can probably take the biggest hit in terms of selling at a loss, because, you know, they're both enormous companies with enormous cash flow. So, but how much of a blank check is Asha Sharma actually being given? Like, obviously, we're hearing rumors that Nadal has given her effectively a blank check to revive the Xbox brand, which I'm kind of confused about that too. Like, surely Phil wanted to revive it. Give him the blank check. I don't know. It's weird. This whole thing is weird. The whole handover is strange, but nevertheless.
In many ways, I guess he did when it came to acquisitions, but I hear your point all the same. Look, we've spoken about Valve plenty already, so I wanted to kind of bring in the news there too, that they're insisting the Steam Machine and a range of hardware that they kind of announced alongside it is still coming this year, after an earlier blog post said that they hoped it would release this year. So it's a mixed messaging, I think it's fair to say, from Valve. It's a little bit unclear as to what they're plans are for that. They've obviously kind of delayed the announcement of the prices and all that hardware, presumably in light of RAM and storage kind of dramatically inflating in costs over the last kind of 12 months or so. James, to bring you into the conversation though, what's your take on all of this, and I guess this kind of split strategy that we're now seeing between the likes of PlayStation and Xbox?
I don't know.
You don't sound really optimistic about it.
No, like, I don't really see what's the point? Like in like if you if it's just
are we giving
a P,
up? Are you giving up on Xbox?
Am I giving up on Xbox or is Microsoft? Like I don't know.
Saying,
what's
the point? Like
yes to
I have a library. I mean, I have a library there, but like my thing is like let's just say the new console exists. I mean, we know it does. Sorry, but you know it comes out and
yeah.
What's to stop, say, if I have a really good gaming PC, how does that part of... like, because the new machine is Windows operated, what's the difference to just buying a new PC unless it's... Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't...
Yeah, why...
Like, before
why
you would buy
an
Xbox
Helix versus a nice PC that you could build yourself or whatever.
Yes, but although probably I'm assuming the pricing will be a bit... better, right? Like, but the rumor is that like Xbox native games are done now. Like, and that again, it further says to me, like, why would I? If I'm going to put that money towards something, why wouldn't I put it towards like some giga gaming PC? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't see.
I kind of like almost see their hardware division kind of decoupling itself from their games publishing division in the same way that Microsoft make PCs. They make like their Surface products and whatnot, right? And then they sell Windows. Like those are kind of two separate entities. It's almost like they're trying to do the same thing in gaming where like we'll have a hardware team that in theory make the best places to play games. And then we'll have a separate team over here making the games and publishing them. That seems a little kind of rogue a strategy, but maybe that is the kind of direction we're headed. Maybe there's a method in that madness.
I will say, like, if obviously, I mean, I will buy the next PlayStation, I'll buy the next Nintendo. But what I buy to fill the Xbox niche per se, I'm going to buy something that will just plug into my TV and I can use like a console, right? Like, I will never be. As like personally, I will never be somebody who like sits at a desk to play a game, on a PC. Like I think that I would still get maybe a Steam box or an Xbox box Helix or whatever.
Yeah.
But then I guess what it will come down to me is like the idea of a Steam box is appealing to me, but then I kind of want the freedom to run other stuff on it. And if I can do that on this Windows machine, that would probably be better. For me, do you know what I mean? Just in terms of, say, revisiting old games through obviously legal emulation. But, like, stuff... Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of is probably what will be the deciding factor in me if I had to decide between those two products.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the tricky thing for me. Like, I would say I'm primarily a console player. Primarily play PS5. But I've got a PC with, admittedly, like... It was once upon a time quite powerful spec, and it still does okay now with a 3080 in it, but it's aging somewhat. But like I built that with multi-purpose in mind. Like I wanted it to be able to edit video for the sake of the podcast or whatever. Like it's a multi-use sort of thing, which I could kind of justify spending upwards of $3,000 on it, like a little more easily, claiming tax where I could. But I feel like Project Helix on paper at the moment sounds to me like it's occupying a little bit of a middle ground that wouldn't interest me all that much in the same way the PS5 Pro doesn't interest me. Because like if I care about playing something the highest fidelity, I'm going to get it on my PC. Whereas I guess the PS5 is almost more a middle ground between my PC and a handheld. Like it just offers a little bit more comfort, maybe a bit more kind of social element to it as well, being in the living room. But yeah, I sort of feel like I need a clearer picture of what the full suite of like next generation hardware looks like. Maybe then Project Helix looks like, assuming it is $1,000 to $1,200 US. That keeping in mind that's nearer kind of like $2,000 Australian, I guess. Maybe that starts to look more reasonable, but yeah, I don't know. At the same time, like PlayStation's potential of having kind of a hybrid console that's more Switch-like, where you can kind of have a handheld SKU as well as a living room console SKU. That maybe still speaks to me more. I don't know if I've ever been so unclear as to like what the next console generation looks like as I do now.
Yeah, 100%.
I guess we'll just have to see how it all shakes out. Brody, just to close it out though, what do you make of the way Xbox have like handled this announcement? I feel like the kind of tease of their next generation is maybe more like within a state of play-esque sort of thing. This random kind of tweet one day does seem a little odd.
The Tuesday email that goes out and sort of lets everyone know about it. Yeah, I don't know. It seems a bit nothing, but I guess they wanted to get some semi-positive news into the news cycle after everything else. So, I mean, it's encouraging to see Sharma sort of injecting herself into the scene a little bit. Obviously, she says she's going to be at GDC to discuss the hardware with partners and things like that and other developers. So
maybe that was why they did this, is they were like, okay, we're going to be talking about this at GDC. We don't want it leaking. Let's just announce it now.
Yeah, and to start, like, because obviously appointments will be starting to be made with other parties and things like that. So, definitely front-footed in that regard, so I can't fault that. But, to your point, I guess, the messaging around what they're doing next and what their strategy is actually going to become in the wake of, I guess, Spencer and Bond leaving is kind of up in the air and a bit confusing.
Mm. Speaking of murkiness and confusing decisions, let's pivot and talk about PlayStation testing some dynamic pricing. Some unusual pricing activity on the PlayStation Store was detected by price tracker PS Prices, who claim PlayStation are testing dynamic pricing on their digital storefront. Players have been shown discounts for games ranging from 5% to about 17.6%, I think the math works out to be. James, what sort of dynamic pricing on digital storefronts could you stomach? Could you get around this in any capacity?
No. Like, I hate dynamic pricing. Like, I've only experienced it in, like, the music space, and it's fucking awful. I just think it's so shit. And I think it's a huge reason why, like, an all-digital console will always not sit right with me. Like, imagine then you're only locked into buying, like, that way on an all-digital console. I just think that is fucking awful. A game should cost what it costs, right? And then, like, to what extent could this be, like, influenceable? Do you know what I mean? Like, if I haven't bought,
I think there was some speculation. Like, I think a lot of it is a little unclear at the moment. I don't think PlayStation have said anything officially about the tests as of yet. Correct me if I'm wrong. There was speculation that, you know, maybe it would be dependent on past purchase history. Like, if you're kind of a high spender regularly buying games, you get less of a discount than someone that may not have bought a game in 6 months.
Which is kind of fucked.
I think that's really bad. It's almost like, and something that just came to me is like surge, loyalty. Like surge pricing for Ubers and stuff. Like,
I don't understand how they can put dynamic pricing or surge pricing on something that's, like, not tangible. Like, these are digital codes. Yeah. Like, I understand concert tickets.
They're
to
not
a degree.
Restricted by demand.
Like, yeah, where's supply. They talk about supply and demand, but shit, you can just buy these things. Like, I don't know. It just seems pretty gross to me.
A lot of third party. Unfortunately, this will also lead to a lot of third party resellers, like all those shitty ones, like G2A, and some better ones like Green Man Gaming and stuff, will probably become a little bit more popular because you'll be looking for other ways to kind of get digital copies of games. And I think at that point, that's already so exhausting for something that was already meant to be like the easiest and most convenient option, right? I know exactly what Brody's saying. Like, it is really shit, and I think it also, but that it has the potential to hurt people in the long run, because what if you work out that, like, oh, I haven't bought an Assassin's Creed game for 10 years or something, and then Hex $300 comes out,
James.
But I would think that maybe if you haven't bought it for ages, it would discount it, right? But then, like, say this new game comes out and you don't purposefully don't buy it because you know it will drop after a while because you haven't touched that franchise in so long. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
and then
they're not gonna.
And then that
creates this
because
people aren't buying games at launch, and it creates this kind of, the same kind of monster that, like, Game Pass has created in a way, where you're kind of waiting for a better situation. Yeah. And I know people wait for sales all the time, but, like, if it's something like this, I don't know.
Important to caveat, I think all of the testing so far has been the degree with which a game is discounted. So it's not increasing the price of a game, kind of dependent on who it's delivering.
I don't
the
think
game
that
to.
Was. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to clear that up in case there was any confusion. So it's some people are getting shown a steeper discount than other people. It's never like increasing the price of the game, if that makes sense. So it's maybe a little bit different from, say, how like concert tickets would work when it comes to dynamic pricing, or airlines. selling flights. That kind
but I
of
think
thing.
The issue is like, if this were to start, like, where is the line there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
It also just doesn't make much sense if, like, I'm chatting to a friend, like, hey, let's both buy this game, play it together, and someone's like, oh, it's 30% off, and someone else's like, no, it's only 20% off for me. Like, what's that all about? I just don't really see a way in which this is, like, implemented well or fairly, or, like, even why it needs to exist. Like, I can kind of understand incentivizing people to, like, purchase games or that kind of thing, like, wanting to introduce something like that. But they had PlayStation Stars, and they took that away. I felt like that would have been more of an opportunity to say, I don't know, give people, like, a unique challenge for that month or something where, like, hey, if you play this game this month, you're going to get, like, a 5% discount code or something like that. Like, there would have been ways to kind of gamify and incentivize it that way rather than turn to dynamic pricing.
I think maybe the only thing I could maybe be like, oh, yeah, this is okay, is maybe just having, say, if you're, what is it, like, there's, like, Essential, Extra, and Deluxe, I think, for the PlayStation Plus. Like, if you're on the highest tier, you get a flat, I don't know, like 5 or 10% off extra off other sales. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this kind of regular,
like
I think that could be okay. But like, if it's just this random drop, depending on what you've been feeding the algorithm, like, in the past 12 months or something, like, I think that's, like, really murky.
Yeah. Doesn't sit well with me at all. Fingers crossed it doesn't really kind of materialize and come into effect. Let's pivot now, though, and talk about Shinji Mikami and what he's up to post-Tango Gameworks. The designer has now re-emerged and revealed a new studio, Unbound Games, which aims to deliver an original IP. Ranging between AA and AAA in scope is how he's described it. Brody, maybe first to you. What would you like to see this game to be?
Yeah, well, I'm a bit curious because I think I'd read initially that he'd left Tango Gameworks because he felt like he had other things to do in the space that wasn't necessarily horror. So I guess I'm interested to see what that sort of materializes as, because, you know, Ghostwire Tokyo was interesting, but obviously still leaned horror, but it was obviously very different to the other things he'd done. Hi-Fi Rush,
it
which
was more
obviously... Yeah,
it was more
Hi-Fi
action.
Rush, which I know I don't think he led at all. Like, I think that was John, but like, obviously a very different game for that studio. So I'm curious to see, like, obviously with he's got a Masato Kimura, which is one of his frequent collaborators, and they've worked together on Devil May Cry in the past and other games like that. Like, he's also at the studio, so I'm curious to see, you know, what they come together to do. But from what I was reading, it seems to be like it's going to be smaller scoped games, so more like triple A quality, but like with a double A scope, which hopefully means they can put out, like, you know, a lot of games, you know, without getting bogged down with these 6 to 7 year development cycles and things like that. So yeah, it's cool that he's still in the space. Like, he's obviously one of the goats. Like, he's got a lot of great stuff under his belt, so the fact that he's still got some more work in him is very encouraging. But I think I'd also read on the site that I don't know if he's on as like a game director necessarily. I think he might be in more like a, what's the word? Like someone who, like, oversees and things like that. Like, he's sort of like a,
like, kind of, I don't know, creative.
Like a mentor role or something like that.
Consultant or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's right. That's the word I was looking for. But but either way, very cool. Very cool that he's back.
Yeah, truthfully, like, I've got no real, like, horse in the race, if that's the right phrase, given that I've not
played,
like, I don't have affinity with his games. I'm not sure if I've played any of the more recent ones, but, that being said,
I've played a million games that he's influenced, put it that way.
Yeah, I'm no doubt. but I do like the kind of messaging that's coming out from the studio, and that they're kind of, like, exploring AA, AAA in scope, maybe kind of having projects that are more AA in nature and scaling them up, like, from here and there. I feel like more studios should do that. Like, don't necessarily set your sights on, like, the biggest, most ambitious game, but aim to kind of deliver something that is kind of maybe a bit more defined in scope with, like, a realistic kind of production pipeline, like a tangible release date, that kind of thing, that controls your costs a little bit. Like, I hate talking about it in like such a business sort of way, but I guess this is the kind of reality of the industry at the moment. But we've spoken before about like how too many games kind of feel like they need to be 100 hours plus. They need to have horse balls that expand and contract depending on the weather in game, things like that. It's just so unnecessary. Whereas, you know, actually, if we had more kind of double A experiences that prioritize like great storytelling, great gameplay loop, that kind of thing, that's all you really need to land a winner. So yeah, whilst I'm not so specifically sure on what game exactly I'd like to expect, I do appreciate the kind of scope that they're setting for themselves. What about yourself, James? Are you disappointed horrors like not kind of immediately on the front of mind?
Not confirmed either. That's not confirmed necessarily.
First of all, I was going to say, first of all, doesn't this, it's not necessarily. But I mean, he like I think about Mikami, like he had a big part in Resident Evil, right? And then obviously kind of reinvented that with Resident Evil 4, and then kind of did his take on it again with Evil Within. I kind of wouldn't blame him if he didn't want to do horror again. But he hasn't actually directed a game since the first Evil Within. He was producer on like Evil Within 2, Hi-Fi Rush and Ghostwire. So like, I think his games, especially Vanquish, like Vanquish is like such a solid and such an underrated action game. Like, I would love to see him maybe tackle action again, or just anything really. Like, I think he is a really, I mean, Goof Troop was like one of his first games, and that was so fucking good on the SNES.
And Aladdin for the SNES.
Back in the day, yeah, the best Aladdin. Like, no matter what anyone else tells you, not the shitty Sega one. I think he's still got it. And I'm super keen to see what he comes up with. I thought he was actually retiring. I had a feeling. I remember he did say he had one game left in him, but that was ages ago, and I thought maybe he was like done now. So I'm keen to know that he is still making stuff or working on stuff. This kind of came out of nowhere for me this morning. But yeah, he is very cool, and I love him, and he can make whatever he wants, and I'll buy it, unless it's, I don't know, an AFL game or something. But I don't need to buy it.
That would be so rude. All right, we're going to take a quick break now, but we'll be back in a sec to discuss your review of Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly Remake, James. Back in a mo. James, you revealed Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly Remake review, a reimagining of a game near and dear to your heart, I think is fair to say. What did you review the game and why?
When you say what did I review it, do you mean what score did I give it to confirm?
You know, how we usually do these reviews.
Well,
I guess. The attitude, Ewan.
Literally. Well, if you introduced it the right way every time, I wouldn't be confused. But anyway,
Maybe I did change my wording up a little bit this time. Fair criticism. You do.
Every episode. But that's okay. We're all human. Speaking of humans, I gave it an 8. That looks like a human when you look at it as a number.
Is it like a head and a body? Is that what you're saying?
That's 100%. I was like genuinely shocked to find that I skewed a bit higher again. Like, I'm kind of, although I skewed lower for Resident Evil, so I don't know. Maybe pigs are flying somewhere. So this is it's a really good game. It's a really good remake of the original game. I wasn't really sure, and I say this in my review, like, Fatal Frame as a franchise, it hasn't quite found that kind of, I want to say it hasn't kind of pierced the culture like Silent Hill and Resident Evil have. Like, I feel like I scroll Reels or TikTok now and I see a lot of Resident Evil and Silent Hill content, like a lot of stupid shit, right? But there is a lot of stuff out there, and Fatal Frame has had, I want to say, three-ish games, probably two-ish releases in the past X years. But this is like the first original one in a while, even though it is a remake. But I mean, Silent Hill 2 did the same thing for Silent Hill. So it's and it kind of sucks because I think this franchise is the scariest out of all of them. Like, I think that Fatal Frame has always kind of had a much more like horror edge to it. And this game was probably one of the only ones that scared me as a kid when I used to play it. And I mean, I'm a little bit more
desensitized.
No, but now I'm a little bit more desensitized, and obviously the remake is a little bit less scary because of that. But I think for a lot of first-time horror people or new horror fans that have started playing horror games because of Resident Evil and Silent Hill, this is a really good place to start. There's a big but, though. And the big but is, it is a remake, but it only... It locks the game, even on your PS5 Pro, to, like, 30 frames per second. And a few years ago, I probably wouldn't have cared as much. I think we've had many an argument about this in the past on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I think now, this far into the gen, and I know it's a new game, per se, but the previous Fatal Frames were all 60 FPS. The PS2 version was 60 FPS, like, back in the day.
Yeah.
And sure, that doesn't look as good, but that was also shit of hardware back then, too. I just think they could have done a bit more in terms of the... Like, it looks great in screenshots, and in, like, when you actually look at screenshots and stuff, it looks incredible. But in motion, it's just so sluggish, and it's so stuttery. I don't know if this is just, like, a... I think they can fix this with patches and updates and stuff, and I'm sure they will. Just in its current form, it is... I'm not going to say unplayable, but I did notice it. And I don't notice it a lot in this with games. Like, I grew up on 64 games, right? Like, they ran at, like, 10 FPS if you're lucky. You know, like, I think... And I said to you guys, I asked you guys, like, what you thought.
Yeah.
And I didn't really listen to either of you.
Answers, which was
yeah, you did. Because everybody gave different answers, and I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to say what I feel. And then, yeah, so... Very good game. Very creepy. Very clever expansion of the mechanics in the previous games. I do think this is the best it's played, and I think it is a really exciting, like, first step for the franchise, like, being revived in the same way that Silent Hill 2 remake was. And it is a standalone story, so you don't have to worry if it's a sequel. Like, you can play it without worrying about anything else. They're very weird and twisted stories, but they're very good. But yeah, I do think if you're very sensitive to performance, either play it on a PC, because it also looks great there. I downloaded the demo to try, and it runs pretty well. But yeah, like, I think, or maybe wait for a performance. I'm sure there's going to be something, because I feel like every review I read this morning said the same thing, like, brought it up. It does feel a bit weird that there's no options whatsoever to even do it, like, a 40 FPS or 45. Or, do you know what I mean? There's, like, other options and stuff. I know Village back in the... I can't remember if Requiem did, but Village had, like, an options for different frame rates with different levels of ray tracing and stuff. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that, because, I don't know, I sort of imagine this would be the definitive way to sort of play the game. And I'm sure you can make the case that it is. But you would,
I think it is for the most part, like feature and gameplay wise, like 100%, like, it takes the original and really expands on it. Some of the houses in the original, you couldn't even go in. They've actually, like, made explorable areas as an example. Like, they've really gone in and kind of broken open the best way that they can. But yeah, I feel like a lot of people expect, I mean, is it wrong for me to say people expect to have these options? Like, I feel like every game has two options now, right? Like,
yeah,
at 30 and a 60. But this locking this at 60 on consoles, especially PS5 Pro,
at 30, sorry, you mean?
Yeah, 30, sorry, yeah.
I think that's almost forgivable, though, like, assuming it's a kind of very consistent 30, but if it's still at 30 and it's suffering kind of frame hiccups every so often, it just sounds like it's not kind of as well optimized as it should be.
I can't imagine
frustrating, but hopefully
how this runs on Switch 2. I don't, because it's obviously not that well optimized for every, and that's, like, I know that's a meme for people to say things like well optimized, but, like, I look at, say, something like Requiem, which was built from the ground up for all those consoles, and that runs really well, like, and is kind of, the engine is designed that way. I don't think this engine, which is the same engine that powers like Neo and Rise of Ronin and Wild Hearts, I don't think this engine was kind of made to kind of adjust to these different kinds of games and new hardware and stuff, but maybe they can I'm sure they can over time. And I want to, like, be really clear, this is still a very good and very scary horror game that has great combat and a very unique premise. Like, you don't just shoot shit, you have to take photos of ghosts to exorcise them, and there's, like, nothing else like that.
Really cool,
and it is pretty hectic. It gets pretty gnarly pretty quickly. So I think there's a demo. There is it.
Would you say it's a good game for Ewan to play with his committee?
With my committee?
I think this... I think this will be even worse. Like, it's because it's so like weird and eerie, and like I think having a room of like a zoo in your room would be like just squawking at the screen and stuff would be what? That's true. Like,
it's not it would a just zoo.
It is a zoo. There's like you'd all be talking. You would.
If you're prepared to go and see a horror movie in a cinema with your friends, then I just very don't think different playing for a horror. No, it's really not.
Yeah, are you all talking to each other during the movie? For one,
no, but we're not all talking to each other through the game necessarily.
Mm.
Reacting.
I guarantee you, you're not all sitting there in silence in front of that TV, because like, otherwise, why are you all together?
No, fair cop.
Yeah,
fair cop.
Just wrong, Ewan. Wrong.
But there saying six, in saying seven that, this does like
sound
that.
Like a scene. Okay,
I will. Right, I will. Although I'm like pausing to like go through your reels. Like, oh, look at this funny one.
No, share, come on.
Yeah,
we're busy like dissecting the game and sharing theories and ideas, that kind of thing. I mean, we're going through at a glacial pace because we're like, oh, let's go back and check that out and do. Let's experiment with this and da 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 da.
Just a dreadful way this to Fatal experience.
Frame sounds like a great game to play together. I can't wait.
There is a demo you can play, and progress carries. It's a very short demo, but progress does carry over to the cool. full game. So that is pretty cool, and you can kind of see if that kind of performance is to your liking or stomaching, as some people would say. I personally like. Don't care, and that's probably why my score was a little bit higher. But yeah, I do think it is something that I couldn't ignore as a critic.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. I'm glad it didn't detract too much from the overall experience, though, and it still lived up to your expectations. Otherwise, that's really good. And yeah, I might have to download a demo. I am curious.
Do it
and kind of and tell me what you think. Like in a bit of a horror kick as well at the moment. Really enjoying Resident Evil. I also watched Bring Her Back last night, which, I don't know, maybe we need to just talk about some movies after we're done talking about
I was going to say, but... I watched the Silent Hill 2 movie two nights ago while we're talking, and that was the worst fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, will say, it was entertaining. Like, I was in a room with people, and we were in shock at the changes that were made.
Oh,
like,
no.
Have you played Silent Hill 2, Ewan, yet?
Yeah, I can't remember. Well, no, I didn't finish it. I played a fair way through it.
I got some crazy building,
I think.
Well, I'm all for like different interpretations and taking artistic liberties, but this is like next level.
Okay.
But anyway, I feel like we're diverting from the task.
Okay, let's get back in course. Weirdly, we are about to talk about movies some more, though, so we're not terribly off course, because the final trailer for the Mario Galaxy movie dropped today as of recording, which rounded out its star-studded cast. Joining the cast in the sequel, we have Louis Guzman taking on the role of Wart, the movie's froggish villain. Correct me if I'm pronouncing the names of any of these actors wrong, by the way, because I'm really not sure.
Issa Rae sounds like a pop star you'd listen to, so I don't know.
Issa Rae, that's how you pronounce her name, voices Honey Queen, and in perhaps the most hype edition of the lot, which, bro, I don't know if you wrote this article.
That's me editorializing a little bit. I was trying
Donald Glover is voicing Yoshi. I think the most surprising, was Yoshi not in the first movie? Did we not hear?
No, he was the egg hatching. Don't you remember after the credits, you saw the egg hatching, and that was like the tease.
Maybe which I think that's what I'm thinking of. You called Donald Glover Yoshi?
Yoshi being a post-credits tease, I think.
Brody, before we started recording, we all got together and watched the trailer. What did you make of it, and what do you make of these casting announcements?
Yeah, cool. I mean, I feel like I've seen enough of this movie now that I'm happy now to wait and just watch it with the kids at the movies. But yeah, look, I like Louis Guzman. I think he's a bit of fun. Like, he's...
Louis.
If he gets to be... funny and play with it like he sort of does in, you know, like things like Wednesday and things like that, I think he'll be a good addition. I don't know exactly how much Donald Glover's going to get to do. Like, are they going to make Yoshi talk, or is he just going to make noises and things like that, which make it a weird choice? But either way, does he sing? It looks oh, that'd be crazy.
Does
imagine
he
that
rap?
He might rap a rapping Yoshi. But yeah, I mean, I feel like they're throwing absolutely everything at this movie. Like, watching the trailer, like there's so many different nods, references. Like, it's I almost don't see where they go after this movie, but anyway, that's for them to work out. But yeah, looks very cool. Excited to see it.
Yeah,
Donkey
Kong. I think it looks Yeah, oh, surely Donkey Kong gets teased here. Yeah, I think they're doing like a really good job with this series, again, based on the first film and the trailer for now the second. But I just think it ticks the right boxes without maybe being like terribly like risk-taking, which isn't to say like Super Mario is the person to kind of take risks with. But yeah, it does feel a little bit paint by numbers, I guess, is what I'm saying. But in doing that, like, it, I think it tells a fun story, and the characters are well kind of recreated or reimagined. And the animation looks stunning as well. I think you see a lot of that in this trailer. I was a little bit worried, maybe kind of post Minecraft, that they might kind of get a little brain rotty with this for the sake of speaking to the youths and picking up where that film left off. But I don't really see much evidence that that's happened. I'm excited for it. It'd be good fun. I'll get some friends and we'll all go together and watch it together.
That's acceptable.
Which is fine because it's a cinema.
What about yourself, James? You excited for this?
Yeah, I liked the first one. Like, I know I would like them to maybe think about the story a bit more, but I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be, again, just this constant cutting from like reference to reference to reference to reference. And that is shit, but I also grew up with this stuff, so I'll take that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not pretending it's higher. I wish it could be like maybe a little bit more thoughtful, like, say, I don't know. I think of like Inside Out, like, as an example. Like, people always say,
sure,
it's a kids movie, like, you shouldn't, and it's like, no, but there are good kids movies that have like quite clever stories. I don't think this will be that movie. I do love, this is like a really James thing, but I really like that, say, like, Wart is in it, like, and obviously Birdo, and I think Mousa was in on one of the trailers. Like, they're all from Super Mario Bros. 2. They're characters that don't often get the kind of like brought up or like revisited a lot in the Mario games, so to have them here is really cool, and especially like to have them even mentioned in the direct and voiced by like real celebrities is quite cool. Like, do you know what, like, sometimes they just put them as visual,
kind of,
it's not just like a background or visual reference, kind of like Dixie and Diddy in like the last movie. They were in it but they didn't speak. But I discovered this morning Donkey Kong's not even in it, which like kind of annoys me. Like, I love Donkey Kong. Obviously, I'm wearing a Donkey Kong shirt.
I think that has to come. Like, whether or not it's like he plays a bigger role in 3, or if he's like given.
He was
his
in
own
the last
film.
Movie, right? Like, so yeah, like, I just Seth feels Rogen, a bit random right, that the... he's and it just feels a bit random he's not in this. And I know the rumor is like that they're planning their separate Donkey Kong movie, but like, I just think
that's what I imagine is happening, and they'll tease it in this. That's what I was alluding to earlier.
Maybe, maybe they go to Kong Country after this.
Because, they're doing, like, theme park expansion, or is that open already?
They already have, They did it ages ago, and that's why I thought that would be coming sooner rather than later. Yeah. I also feel like this is Bonanza called Galaxy. Called Galaxy, but, like, everything is from Mario 2 or Odyssey that I've seen so far, besides, like, Rosalina.
I was
going to
say, the dinosaur, kind of, the glimpse of the dinosaur we got, you took that as an Odyssey reference,
100%. It's not anything else. So, like, it's an odd. It is a. Like, and,
I mean, you could just have dinosaurs for the sake of dinosaurs, but.
Maybe.
Yeah.
On a quick side note, they mentioned this is the centerpiece of their Mario 40th anniversary celebrations. Do you guys think that means no Mario game this year?
Sounds like it.
Not looking good for Shani.
No, he had that down as his fancy pick, didn't he?
I'll tell you what, if Slay the Spire doesn't start getting reviews, I don't know what to do.
Surely anyway. It's not the only Mario thing that happens this year. In a 40th anniversary year? Zelda anniversary passes by, or is that this year as well?
I mean, the Metroid one did and nothing happened, but I don't but I think, like, you know, Mario 40th anniversary and the celebration is two Virtual Boy games and a Game Boy Advance game on the system. It's like, are we really, like, is that it?
I guess we should stop being surprised by weird Nintendo decisions. But
if someone threw me a 40th birthday party and they gave me two Virtual Boy games and a Game Boy
and
Advance
a movie
game,
a whole Illumination animation movie, that's
fair,
that'll make $2 billion.
I wondered, like, by Centerpiece, if this was going to be kind of like, I don't know, a turning point or like something that kind of like spawns off other things, Like, is there going to be something in... And particularly, like, the kind of galaxy kind of nature of it as well. Are we going to see a game kind of spin out of the movie world or something like that? Yeah, I don't know. That might be wishful thinking, though. It's probably far more, like, typical of Nintendo to just let the anniversary pass them by without a huge amount of fanfare on new game releases. It'd be a shame. Although, if Shannon does drop points in Fantasy Critic, I wouldn't mind that. Has there been any movements on Fantasy Critic that I've missed?
Yeah, Harry, the dog, put in a counterpick for Fatal Frame 2. Like, sneakily. And thankfully, that looks like it's backfired. He's going to lose points, so I'm very
happy
about
that. He'll only lose about 5 points, which is probably, like,
It's gone up to 78 on OpenCritic. I was going to say during your review, but, like, you're pretty bang on, really, in terms of the average.
Yeah, okay.
So that's 8 points he would lose. I think that's...
Yeah, well, I just didn't like the subterfuge there. I feel like it was quite sly of him.
Yeah. I think Romeo is a Dead Man. Being a counterpick from you, Brody, is looking pretty strong. It's only cost you 4 points.
Does he get points? I only cost him
points. I lost 4 points. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take that at this point, quite frankly.
I'm hoping counterpicking a Half-Life game pays dividends, given,
hearing that the Steam Machine might still come out this year.
We'll see.
But to answer your question, Harry picked up Pokemon. And
did he?
Oh, no, he dropped Pokemon.
No, he dropped Pokemon. Winds and Waves, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he dropped Winds and Waves. Okay.
Kind of wish I could. Which,
correct me if I'm wrong, and we're getting off the track here, because I immediately went to counterpick that, and it wasn't there for me. I think because it had already been delayed.
I tried to do this when GDA got delayed last year from, I think Ewan had it, and it doesn't let you counterpick it after the announcement's been made.
So because I've got a bit of a loophole here with Slay the Spire, if that gets reviews, I'm all good. If it doesn't, it's technically releasing next year, so I can drop it at any point.
Isn't it out this month?
It's already out, but it's not showing any reviews because there are none.
I think you need to write a stern email to the Fantasy Critic people. And
Slay the Spire 2 is marked... It's on OpenCritic. Sorry, on Fantasy Critic, it's marked as will not release.
Yeah, but that's because it's not releasing 1.0, but our rules are set so that if it gets reviews in early access, I'll still get the points. But my point is...
See if you can drop it. I don't know if
I can drop it. I can drop
can
it.
Now.
I can drop it at any point.
Just drop
but
it,
you can't
Brady.
Counterpick it.
Can I counterpick
no,
it?
No, you can't. You shouldn't be able to because it's
can
not...
Can I try?
So I think I can keep it there until later in the year, until I know it's definitely not going to get any review scores, and then I can drop it consequence-free.
I mean, if that's what you need to do to try and win,
pick it. So
yeah,
I
do need to do that, James. Quite frankly, because I am not doing well so far.
I don't think I am either. I think it's a bit of a dud year.
Ewan is actually off to a very
hang
good
on start. A second. I'm off to a great start. Got an 89 for Resident Evil Requiem, which I think that and
even though James tried to bring you down in that regard,
I didn't try
just scoring it low.
I actually, my score goes lower every day.
And then going higher on Fatal Frame, that's interesting considering he had that.
I'm really pissed I didn't pick Mugenix as well. I was really flirting with that because Mugenix and Resident Evil Requiem, along with Hermit and Pig and Esoteric Ebb, are the four best reviewed games.
I looked at Esoteric Ebb too. Looked at it.
Pokemon and Ken are also pretty high up. Neo 3 I picked as well. That's pretty
I'm doing
high
this with my
there.
Friends with real money involved, and I laughed at Mugenix, and now I'm obviously not coming first.
I'll tell you one pick that I'm myself about Mugenix.
One game I picked up that I am nervous about is 007. I don't remember picking it up, but it's there. So
someone's counterpicked that for me in my other league. It'll be good.
I believe in IO.
Yeah, I agree.
The fact that no one's counterpicked it yet, I think, is evidence that it is a bit of a wild card game. It could be, like, getting nines across the board, or it could be getting sevens. It's kind of... I feel like it's one of the
swimming
two.
In sevens.
Maybe worse. I still got a couple empty spaces there, and a counterpick to make, though, so I'll need to spend some time thinking about that. For now, though, let's crack on with a rapid-fire question for the two of you. Pocopia. Pokemon Procopio has taken the world by storm, even making a White House tweet. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Terrible.
It's sold out in stores everywhere. I actually haven't got a copy of it. I made a somewhat of an effort to over the weekend and could not turn up a copy of it. In reaction, Amazon has bumped up the price of the game overseas, and I think the UK, maybe some other markets pricing as well. Dynamic pricing in full effect. And yeah, frustrating some that are unable to pick it up, no doubt. When was the last time you were unable to buy a game, do you think, James? Your rapid fire question of the day.
This is a bit weird. I mean,
I'm going to know your answer.
No. If I want something, I'm getting it. Like, there's not, like, and that's if, like, obviously I can spend the extra $20 and get it digital. Like, so it's been a long time since, like, I have had to miss out. I don't know. I've always pre-ordered. So I've never, like, even shit I'm, like, tangentially interested in, I would pre-order and then just cancel it if I didn't want it. Do you know what I mean?
Sure,
for me, no, I don't know. I'm going to say there was a game, Silent Hill on the Wii. There was, like, a volcano erupted once, and that stopped the shipment from getting to Australia, so I couldn't get it straight away. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Silent Hill Shattered Memories came out so late in Australia. That's probably the last time I remember not being able to buy a physical video game. But that's it, I think.
I'm sure there's been other examples. I know I wrote this question, but, like, I am kind of struggling to remember. There was one game I really wanted for a long time, and I was buying it years after the fact, so it was more like trying to track down a kind of, not a retro game, but an older game. It was Alien Hominid. I always desperately wanted to play that game. It might have been post-Castle Crashers or something like that.
That's still on Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, it's much easier to get nowadays, thankfully, and I think it's been remastered as well. But yeah, there was a time where I was, like, seeking that game out and had a really hard time finding it. But yeah, nothing recently, I don't think. There's nothing quite like I can remember Procopio being. Like, it's just properly, like, difficult to pick up. Maybe there was a time I was trying to buy Animal Crossing for someone and it was hard to pick up, but... Yeah.
I think Procopio is a case of it was undershipped, and I think a lot of people weren't sold. Yeah. I think it was a mix of things. I think, especially like physical retailers, I think ZA didn't sell as much as people wanted it to, so then retailers didn't want to buy as much as Procopio because maybe they thought the Pokemon crowd went digital.
Yeah.
And then obviously reviews came out and it was really good. So like a mix of that plus the hesitance from people. I know JB didn't even get it. Locally.
Oh, did they not? So, I thought they were like putting prototype for a second shipment at JB.
I got it.
Well,
from JB.
It was like a quarter of their initial shipment. Like, they didn't buy in anywhere near as much as like they wanted to. So basically, it was a mix of those things, I think. I mean, it would have sold heaps, I think, if there was a lot more copies around, because I think the UK physical sales came out and everyone was like, oh my god, it's undersold. And it's like, no, it's because no one had fucking copies to sell. Like,
yeah,
I think it was a mix of things. And I would imagine now, I'm seeing a lot of people pick up Switch 2s for this. I think Wind and Waves will do a lot better than ZA did as a result.
Yeah. I do feel like this game's having a little bit of a moment, which is an exciting thing. Keen to get my hands on it. Brady, did we hear from you? Has there been a game that you've struggled to purchase?
I mean, probably in recent times. Like, I really had a hankering to play Manhunt, and obviously that was banned here.
Yeah.
But fortunately, there are workarounds for everything, so I've got... I have that on Xbox now anyway, so...
That just reminded me, Mortal Kombat on 360. That's also one that I really wanted, but obviously it was banned.
Oh, yeah, the one that was like...
Before we had R18.
That was the first game I bought from Oz Game Shop. Back in the day. Which ships from the UK.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd forgotten about Oz Game Shop.
And they're always way cheaper. Like,
admit to that? What's this? What's the statute of limitations?
Oh, well. I don't give a shit.
I also own Manhunt. I think you were meant to take your copies back, weren't you? Because it was banned after it came out. Yeah, I don't know if what the legality is there. Yeah, I don't know if
you police that.
Do you remember that, Ewan? I mean, Brody, not Ewan. He wasn't born.
You can take away Pornhub, but you're not taking away my Manhunt.
They literally released this. They released this game, and then they sold shitloads of copies because everyone was like, "Oh, how cool and violent!" And then they're like, "Oh, actually, it's banned now." So I don't know like what you were meant to do. Was I meant to burn my copy?
Burn it,
like,
get in the town square with a bonfire and burn the books.
Yeah, like such
that's
a
what
time.
They did back in the olden days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, back when I was a child.
All right, now it's time for What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with a round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. Currently in the lead, we have James on 8 points. Shannon is in second on 7. Harry in third on 5 points. And Brody, you and I are tied in fourth place with 4 points apiece. You made quite the comeback last week, though, to get there, and are in the hosting chair today. James and I have some trivia prepared for you after, but hell for yeah. Now, take it away.
All right. Okay. Hopefully this goes okay. I'm worried about the third one just because it's... I don't know. All right.
It's always tough game number one. Head-to-head with James.
The game was originally conceived as a prequel to Blank. However, during early development, the developer gradually reimagined it as a single-player experience set in a separate universe and established as a distinct non-continuous IP. The game has since been marketed as single-player only with no plans for multiplayer integration. In December 2020, after the release of the trailer at the Game Awards, the developer released commentary videos to explain the development of the game and their vision for it. The game uses an upgraded version of the Blank proprietary game engine called Blank. Early previews of
you're blanking the game, everything.
Yeah. Well, because I can't say these things. Redacted. Early previews of the game have been generally positive, with critics highlighting its world building, combat mechanics, and detail. The game has been identified as one of the most anticipated open world games of 2026.
Oh,
Ewan?
Open world.
I know it.
You better get it. Ewan.
Oh no. I was really taking a punt here as well. Is it Intergalactic the Heretic Prophet?
Is that coming out this year?
Did you say coming out this year? No.
Yeah, it's one of the most anticipated open world games of 2026. James, you are queued up. Take that point.
Is it Crimson Desert, Brody?
It is Crimson Desert. Well done.
Thank you so much.
So all the blanks are obviously Black Desert Online, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, game number two. James might very well sweep here. We'll see how we go.
God.
Okay.
Ewan, you got to listen to all the sentences.
It's hard. There's so many words.
You like Shannon. There's always a Shannon.
I'm trying to run a show here as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're turning all the dials, running the ones and twos. Settle down. All right.
Hang on, my headphones fell off. All right.
You win
and
this?
That's why you'll lose.
All right, game number two. For the first time in the series, the game features two playable characters, returning protagonists Blank and Blank.
Mm.
Blank's rewind power from the first game returns.
James.
Damn it.
James.
Is this Life is Strange Reunion, Brody?
It is Life is Strange Reunion, James. A 3-point sweep for Jim. My goodness gracious. I feel like Ewan could have got that.
I could have got that. I'm just
You could have got Life is Strange.
My brain just doesn't work as quickly as James when it comes to these things.
That's right.
It's very frustrating.
The third game. Do you want to do that for funsies?
No, why not? I did it so quickly. We might
as well. This is a what the steamy.
I've been embarrassed enough.
This is a what the steamy just because the game doesn't have a Wikipedia page as far as I could see.
Okay.
So I'll just read the product description. High octane action and anime aesthetics collide in this arcade racing game. Ewan.
Oh, shit. No, this isn't fair.
James, queued up.
The sentence after I buzzed in.
Yeah, but you've got more information.
Realize, I don't know.
Arcade racer. No.
Anime aesthetics.
Yeah. No, James. I haven't got it. I was going to say James. Orbitals up until then.
Is it Screamer?
It is Screamer. Well done, James.
Thank
never
you.
Heard of it.
These are all
new.
Games.
It's out next month. This month.
This month. These are all games I'm looking forward to this month.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. Well, I'm not looking forward to Life is Strange, but it was dry. There was not much to say.
Wow.
Poor. I'm not a Life is Strange guy. All right. Yeah, give me my trivia.
All right. So I think we are going to throw to James for trivia. And then I've got like a fun bonus question for you.
Oh, okay. Oh, we didn't do that before, did we? Yeah, okay.
No. James's will be the one for points. Oh,
this is our full pivot
a timeout.
To a game show. This is our... Well, let's vamp. Ewan, marathon. You didn't play with me last night.
I didn't. What's no, I'm sorry. I was watching Bring Her Back last night. That's what I was doing there. How did you go on marathon?
So me and Harry, we were hunting a few contracts. We were going for one specifically where you have to like get something and then extract.
Okay. Get like a specific item or get like
Okay. Had to get like maintenance rods or something like that. And it was not going well for us.
How are you finding it? Are you
I'm loving it.
Still on okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, loving it. I think it's great. Like I'm really enjoying the loop. Harry's very good at it. Like he's just a sweaty and I love it. But after he jumped off, I just queued up and played with a few random people. Like I did a couple of solo runs as the assassin.
Yeah.
And just like went invisible and shit. But James is back. Marathon anyway. We'll
Sorry, technical difficulties.
That's it's okay. All good. You're forgiven. We'll cut all that out no quickly. Which I kinda want to continue the marathon conversation, but we're in the middle of the trivia, so James, take it away.
Oh, am I doing? We're doing it. Okay,
yeah,
Brody, you have Brody, you have three topics. Three. Two, pick one. Banjo-Kazooie, Brutal Legend, or Pokemon Pokopia.
Shit,
just a fun selection.
And not very like Brody specific.
Yeah. I got really lazy. Oh, the first one was Brody specific.
Yeah, Banjo-Kazooie definitely is. I don't know if Brutal Legend.
And then I was like...
I played Brutal Legend.
To be honest, I thought like Double Fine, and then I was like, what's a Double Fine game Brody would like? And then I picked Brutal Legend.
Look, but you're I did play it. Just to clarify, do these questions have multiple choice facet?
As per the rules of the trivia, they do.
Okay.
In that case, you question the integrity of the trip.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he hasn't been here for 12 years. So. Yeah.
In that case, I think I will opt for safety. No, you know what? Fuck it. I'll go Brutal Legend. Give me Brutal Legend. I'll regret this.
Very interesting. Okay.
I haven't played this game for 11 years or 15 years. No, but go on.
I reckon you might. There might be something. Who voiced the main demon antagonist in Brutal Legend? Was it Ronnie James Dio?
I forgot it was multiple choice.
Yeah, so did I. And honestly, the voice that came, the person that came to mind was Dio. But anyway, go on.
Okay.
Lemmy.
Oh shit.
Dave Mustaine or Tim Curry?
Tim Curry.
It is Tim Curry. Congratulations, Brody.
Yeah. I think all the others might have been in it. God, maybe not Dave Mustaine. But Dave Mustaine, what a pull. Where'd you get that from?
I just looked it up.
Guitarist from Megadeth.
Well, because like he's Metallica. Isn't he Metallica?
Well, he was originally Metallica, but he's in Megadeth. Yeah.
I just Googled like rock stars.
Very good. Well, I'm happy with that.
Well, that's firmly left me in last place on 4 points. Brody, you've moved up to third, tied with Harry on 5 points. Shannon in second on 7, and James uncomfortably far ahead at the moment on 11 points.
I fucked up.
Just like, I don't know, give multiplayer games. I don't know.
What do you mean? I can't, like, and they're so boring.
It's beating me on everything.
But it's literally like, oh, this game is a 3v3.
Study up on Devolver Games, because we proved last year that he doesn't know those quite so well.
That's true. Okay, I have a little bonus fun question for you, Brody, because I wasn't sure who was preparing trivia today, so I prepared a question for you, and it's a have you been paying attention style game. You and I playing a bunch of Marathon. I want to test you on how much you're paying attention to your gear and your loadout in Marathon.
Not a lot.
So I'm going to...
If it doesn't come in a sponsored kit, I don't know.
I'm going to give you the name of 4 weapons. All but one of them come from Marathon. You're going to tell me the one that doesn't come from Marathon.
Okay.
Here we go. So you have A, the M77 Assault Rifle. B, the Overrun AR. C, the Alternator SMG. Or D, the Conquest LMG. Which one does not belong in Marathon?
Shit, the only one I'm confident is in it is B.
It is in Marathon. Do you want those 4 guns again?
It was like the M77.
M77 Assault Rifle.
The Overrun
AR. The Alternator SMG. And the Conquest LMG.
I'm going to say C.
C? The Alternator SMG? That gun is from Apex Legends. You are correct, Brody. Well done.
I know it sounds familiar. I'm like, oh, they all sound real. I don't know.
I was trying to just make up one from Marathon. I was like, this isn't working. So I plucked it from another game.
I don't think I've seen a Conquest LMG, and I don't think I've seen an M77, but anyway.
Assault Rifle, yeah. Referenced to the Marathon wiki to produce those. Well done. Well, the correct answers all around between you two today. It was just me dropping the ball. But with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Visit us at pressstart.com.au and follow us at pressstart.au. We're being joined today by James.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at James, A-T-J-M-Z, and Blue Sky.
And the Marathon Master, it is Brody.
Thanks. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG. And yeah, find me in the perimeter. Find me in Diamarsh. I'm not at Outpost yet. It's too hard.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. We'll be back again next week. But until then, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.